The first 17 verses, but our text is going to be simply verse 16, as we focus on yet another one another. Colossians 3, starting at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And then our verse this evening: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Brothers and sisters, this is God's holy and true word. Let's pray now as we consider this word. Please pray with me. We've sung to you, Heavenly Father. We've brought you praise. We've heard your word spoken to us. Now we pray that you would continue to speak to us as we hear your word unpacked this afternoon. Remove any of the distractions from our minds and from our hearts. And Lord, if we're sitting there at home, help us to focus on your word, to put away anything that might distract us. Help us to hear what you would want us to hear this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we start this afternoon, a snap poll. Who has seen The Sound of Music? I think that's everyone. That's unanimous. Is it unanimous? Yeah, it's unanimous. If you're following at home, you would have seen all the hands raised. But for the first time in a church, in a Reformed church, everyone raised their hands at once. Who's a fan of The Sound of Music? Yeah, maybe not so many hands coming up. In the Sound of Music, Maria von Trapp, that's a little spoiler. We've seen it here, so we're okay with spoilers. We have a musical splendor. But can you imagine what it would have been like to live with the Maria there displayed in The Sound of Music? Imagine what life would have been like. Everything and every time you had a discussion, you'd have to sing. If you wanted to have an argument, you have to do it in song. If you wanted to talk to each other, it would be in music. Imagine that you're going out for a walk in the Canterbury foothills. You'd have to sing "Climb Every Mountain." And no, we won't sing it this afternoon. I was tempted, but no pianist, so you were let off this afternoon. Imagine life where song is integral to everything that you do. Well, in a way, That's part of the picture that we have in our text here this afternoon. Our passage calls us to sing. To sing God's word to each other. Now, not only singing, also teaching and admonishing each other. We're going to look at that as well. But our passage calls us to sing. So this evening we're going to see the importance of God's word to our one another's. The importance of God's word to one another. And that's our theme this afternoon. We are to teach and sing God's word to each other. We are to teach and sing God's word to each other. Our first point this evening, as we break this verse apart, as we unpack it, is that we are to let God's word dwell in us. We are to let God's word dwell in us. Now, we looked at this passage a number of months ago. The section here in Colossians, the Apostle Paul is unpacking Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. What does it mean to walk in Jesus Christ? He's talked about putting on the new self. We were called to worship this morning and the reminder that we have been raised with Christ. We are to seek the things that are above. We are to put to death the old nature, the old man, and put on the new. And it's in the putting on the new that we find ourselves this evening. Verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." Now, how do we let the peace of God rule in our hearts? Where does that peace come from? What does the passage tells us in verse 15? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As we look at this word of Christ, it really means the word about Christ. It means everything that's written here in this book, everything that points us to Christ, holds Christ up to us and to each other. Let Christ be central in everything. And how are we filled? How can we be filled? Well, in a parallel passage in Ephesians 5, you don't need to turn there, but in Ephesians 5, we get an idea of how we can be filled. How we can let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. The Apostle Paul says this, verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So when Paul says here, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," he's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit's work that puts God's word into our lives. It's the work of the Spirit that makes God's word ours. We are to be people of the book. We are to be people of the book. It's been said of John Bunyan this, and I want to read a quote about John Bunyan. An author is quoting about John Bunyan. He says here, "I would quote John Bunyan as an instance of what I mean. Read anything of his and you will see that it is almost like reading the Bible itself." He had read it till his very soul was saturated with Scripture. And though his writings are charmingly full of poetry, yet he cannot give us his Pilgrim's Progress, that sweetest of all poems, without continuously making us feel and say, why? This man is a living Bible. Prick him anywhere, his blood is bibline. The very essence of the Bible flows from him. He cannot speak without quoting a text, for his very soul is full of the Word of God. I commend his example to you, beloved. That's the picture that our text is pointing us to, allowing God's word to dwell in us richly, so that when our blood is pricked, we bleed bibline. Let God's word dwell in you richly. Now, I'm not much of a beach person. And I'm certainly not much of a beach person in winter when it comes to the sea. But yet certain members of our family love nothing better than even in the middle of winter to go right into the middle, oh, not into the middle of the ocean, that's exaggeration, but right into the water and sometimes with their heads under the water. Now, I may occasionally dip a toe or two into the water, very occasionally. But what we're being called to here in our passage this afternoon is to let God's word soak into us, to let God's word wash over us so that it fills and it's part of everything that we do and say to each other. But how do we do that? What does it look like as we teach God's word to each other? What does it mean? What does it look like? And that brings us to our second point this afternoon. Our second point is to teach God's word. Teach God's word. If you give me just a moment here, I'm having a little technical problem, so bear with me just a second. Is it going to calm? Yep. Just talk amongst yourselves for a second. Here we go, that's better. Thank you for that. The version that I had was an old version, so I was going to give you old news, old sermon. Our second point this afternoon is teach God's word. Teach God's word, and there are two parts to this, but really it's under the umbrella of teaching each other. And the word here, the apostle here puts it in two terms. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Now I should say, as we do this, as we look at this, as we think about God's word dwelling us richly, first of all, you may hear that and say, I get what you're saying. I need to read God's word. I need to apply God's word to my life. But that's not really what Paul is saying here. Now, he has a bigger idea here. When he says there, and let the priest of Christ rule in your hearts, it could be to us individually. Let the word of Christ dwell in you individually. But it's not actually what he's saying. If we were in the southern United States, the Apostle Paul would say, let the word of Christ dwell in y'all richly. If we were in West Auckland, he'd say, let the word of Christ dwell in yous, fellas probably, or fellesses. The idea here he has is that he's talking to the church as a group, as a whole. And that's important, as we're going to see. Teaching, he says, first of all. The idea here of teaching is present the truth, offer the truth, teach people about Jesus Christ. And part of that teaching people is not just giving them words, but also helping them to put it into practice. It's not just filling our head with knowledge or filling others' heads with knowledge, it's helping them to put it into practice. So part of that is teaching each other and helping each other to open God's word together, to read God's word together, to apply God's word together, to submit to God's word together. Coming alongside someone who may be struggling to read their Bible and offering to help them with that. Getting them the necessary resources that they need to help them understand their Bible more. Teaching is the positive side, but admonishing is the negative side. And that's the second part of here of teaching that we have. And the idea here of admonishing is the idea of giving a warning. Warning, telling someone you're in danger, be careful, you're straying away from the truth, you're straying away from God's path in your life. It's holding up a mirror, the mirror of God's word to someone, and saying you're going the wrong way, you're in danger of straying away. Now that sounds like a great job for a pastor, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like a great job for the elders. Isn't one of the qualifications of an elder that they are able to teach? Except that's not what our passage is teaching here. What does it say here? Give me a bit of a hand here. What does it say? We are to teach and admonish who? What does it say in our passage there in verse 16? One another. So the Apostle Paul isn't saying elders, deacons, elders and pastors, take note here. He's saying, no, this is something we are called to do to each other. This is part of being part of God's church. It's a God-given responsibility for every single one of us to teach each other. And yes, when appropriate, as appropriate, to admonish each other. And that gets a little bit more difficult, doesn't it? And there's a danger here as we do this, brothers and sisters, as we teach each other, especially as we admonish and warn each other, we need to take care. This requires much sensitivity, and that's where wisdom comes in. That's what our passage says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. As we talk to each other, as we interact with each other, as we encourage, as we challenge each other, that requires the wisdom that comes from the same Holy Spirit that fills us with the peace of Christ. So pray that God would give us wisdom. Pray that God would give us wisdom as a church and brothers and sisters as we fellowship with each other over God's word. Teaching and admonishing each other, one another, practically means a number of things for us. It means that at home, a responsibility that falls to the head of the house, that this is happening. That doesn't mean that you as the head of the house needs to do all the reading and the teaching, but you are responsible for it. It means that God's word should be central in our dealings with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Would it feel a little odd if you're getting together one evening and you're having a discussion about something and you say, hey, let's get the Bible out and see what it says on this? That's part of what our passage is talking about here. Teaching and admonishing one another are asking each other questions. What are you reading in God's word at the moment? What are you learning in God's word? And again, these are not questions that are just there for the pastor or the elders. These are the questions we should be asking each other. How are you being encouraged by God's word at the moment? What are you finding difficult to understand? And then you might say, well, I don't have the time for those sorts of things. I don't have the time to sit down and read. Well, today with modern society and even the busyness of society, we have wonderful aids to help us. There are things like podcasts or sermons that you can download and listen to while you're out going for a run, while you're doing the cleaning, while you're driving on the way to work. All ways that you can help yourself to let God's word dwell richly in you. The word of Christ dwell richly in you. And also something that we should always keep in the back of our mind as we think about our non-Christian friends. Consider opening God's word and offering to open God's word with them sooner rather than later. And yes, I understand that's a big step. But sooner or later, you're going to have to bring them to God's word. Let the truth of Jesus Christ speak for itself. And if some of these things that I've suggested you find daunting, you're not sure what to do, there are plenty of resources to help you. Ask me, ask others. Ask an older, wiser person in the church. I need some help in this area because this is part of being part of the body of Christ. This is part of sharing God's word with each other. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Brothers and sisters, we are to marinate in God's word. But Julie Andrews was onto a good thing in The Sound of Music. I wonder how her and the Apostle Paul may have got on with each other. I actually think they would have had quite a lot in common. Because there's a second way to allow God's word to dwell in us richly, the word of Christ. And that's our third and final point this afternoon. And that point is to sing God's word. Sing God's word. Many of us have gone on the third Sunday of the month to Ballarat. And often as we come in, and I understand that, they've just had lunch, they're feeling a little bit dozy and things, but first of all, as you see the kids run in, you see their eyes light up. But also, it amazes me time and time again, even those that seem to be sleeping, many of them are singing along. You can see their mouths moving to the words as we sing those old hymns. Music has power. Music is powerful. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knows that too. That's why he calls the church together to sing. Now, first of all, a technical point. What are these different categories that he names here? There in the second half of verse 16, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, some have interpreted this as three different types of psalms. It's not a fair interpretation of what is being said here. Some have said that psalms refer to the psalms of the Old Testament. Hymns refer to songs that were sung outside of the psalms. Think of Mary's song. Think of Miriam's song. Think of Hannah's song. And then spiritual songs are songs that are influenced by the Holy Spirit at that time. It's a one way of looking at it, but the truth is, and the honest thing to say here, is that we don't actually really know. We don't know what each of those categories are. We can have a guess, but that's not the point of the passage. The point that Paul is trying to make, is that we are to sing. It's something the church has always done. It's something that's in the church's DNA. They used to sing the songs of the Psalms in the temple. The songs of ascent as the pilgrims made their way to Jerusalem for one of the three feasts. Jesus and the disciples sang a hymn, ironically, was most likely some of the Psalms, some of the later Psalms, on the night of the Last Supper. One of the things that the church and the early church was known for from a very early stage by Roman writers is that they sung. Every single revival that has happened in history since the gospel began to be proclaimed, music has always been a part of that revival. Imagine a revival concert today. The Getty, Stuart Townsend, Citizens and Saints, Wren Collective, and you may not know some of those names, they're good Christian names. Imagine concerts run by them with people flocked to, and we sung together, bringing praise to God. Because that's who we're to sing to. That's what our passage calls us to do, to sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. That should frame our worship, who we're singing to. If you attend an Otago rugby game at home, it used to be at Carisbrook, but that's now been demolished. One of the songs that will be sung from the cheap seats, from the terraces, is "I Am a Southern Man." Again, I'll save your ears and not sing that for you this afternoon, but it talks about how I am a Southern man and the South is in my blood. It's all about geeing each other up and getting ready for the game and how wonderful, how strong we are and our team is. But that's also what a lot of modern Christian music is like as well. They sing songs about the Trinity, but the wrong Trinity. They sing songs about me, myself, and I. How wonderful we feel, how wonderful we are, rather than songs that point to God and bring Him glory and bring Him honor. What Paul is calling us to here as a church is to sing songs that speak about Christ, songs that bring honor and glory to God. But as we sing to God, as we do so, we are to sing to each other. That's what we're doing. We're not just singing to God, but we're also singing to each other. Remember, Paul's aim here is to speak about what we do together as God's people. And that is why live stream doesn't really work. Yes, it's good for the meantime. Yes, it's something that helps us in the meantime as we're unable to fully gather together in worship. It's useful for those of us who are unable to come and worship. But it can never, ever replace the value of us coming together as God's people, of singing and lifting up the roof as we encourage each other of the wonderful things that God has done. As we confess our sins together and remind each other that our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. As we sing songs that reflect the entire Christian experience, songs of joy, songs of lament, but songs aimed to God. Thankful for what he has done for us. And a point here too. It's not just speaking here about singing on a Sunday. Paul is encouraging singing to be part of our lives. Not to live as Julie Andrews in a lifelong musical, but yeah, singing as we can. Singing around the family table if you're able to do so. Singing together in Bible study and fellowship groups and singing together in Sunday school and the like. Called to sing God's word. But as we do so, there are also a couple of practical points that we need to consider. Because we sing together, because we do it together as God's people, as we sing, we're also to think about others. Some of us love the old hymns. Some of us love the more modern hymns, good hymns, and there are many good ones. And if the song that you're singing is not your favourite, you can count on the fact that it probably is someone else's. And part of singing together is that we sing a variety of songs to encourage each other. But also, and more importantly, and this is part of letting God's word dwell in us, marinate in us, dwell in us richly, we are also called to think about what we are singing. It's easy to switch off, isn't it? To just go through the words, to mouth out the words, to think about how the song's being played. We cannot blame the musicians tonight at all, can we? But we do that sometimes, don't we? And they actually do a very good job. Thank you, musicians, if you're listening at home. It's easy just to switch off. But what we're called to do here is think about what we're singing. Boys and girls, if you don't understand a word, and sometimes we have that, and I try and explain, ask your parents. And that's not just for the children. If you don't understand what we're singing, let's talk about it and ask why we're singing what we're singing. Being a follower of Jesus Christ, having the peace of Christ, means teaching and admonishing one another. It means singing to one another. It means answering the call of the Psalms, the call that we heard as we came to worship this afternoon. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Oh, come, let us bow down, worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. It has been said, music is the window of the soul. Music is the window of the soul. I want to leave you with this question this evening, a question I ask myself as well. How is it in your soul? How does how you sing, how does how you worship, how do we worship reflect what is in our souls? Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you this evening for your free gift of your word to us. Help us to have a love for your word. If we're struggling at the moment to open your word, give us perseverance. Help us to see the blessings and the rich nuggets that are there in your word. And if we're struggling in this area, help us also not to be prideful, but also to be humble enough to ask for help for our brothers and sisters, because that is what we're called to do here this afternoon. Teach one another. Correct one another when appropriate. And Lord, we need so much wisdom as we do that as well. Draw us closer together as a body so that opening your word together, discussing our struggles in life, discussing the problems that we're having, discussing the joys and the encouragement we have will be as natural as breathing air. And bless us Heavenly Father, as we sing, as we bless each other in our singing. We thank you this afternoon for our wonderful music team and all those who are involved in putting the music together. Be it live streaming it for us, be it projecting the words on screen there at Waimana as well. Bless all who are involved, Lord, in that. And help us to sing to you with thankfulness. Forgive us for the times we switch off. We don't think about what we're singing. Help us instead to see that this is an important part of letting your word dwell in us richly. Work in us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Give us wisdom. Give us hunger and thirst for your word. Help us to look for Jesus Christ and show Jesus Christ to each other. We pray this together, together as your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing now a song of praise to God. Number 48, as we stand and sing, and we're going to be thinking about what we're singing, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Great is the Lord our God and greatly to be praised. Singing the praises of God, verse 4, within your temple, Lord, reflecting as we come together as God's people. We sing your praise wherever your name is known. And then verse 5, let Zion now rejoice, speaking of Jerusalem, and all her daughters sing. Mount Zion's walls, behold, about her ramparts go. It's the psalmist is building a picture of Jerusalem and of the strength and protection of God as he guards his people. So let's stand and sing these words together and remain standing as we hear God blessing us as his people. Let's stand and sing. Great is the Lord our God, and greatly to be praised. Upon a hill God's city stands, in glorious beauty.